Thank you, choir. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In response, please stand as you are able and join.
And let us pray. O holy God, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our minds, and the meditations of all our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You call us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My parents have a lake home that they spend quite a bit of time in every summer on a small lake in western Michigan. They have good friends who are part of a United Methodist Church congregation in a nearby town, and this past summer, my mom was invited by her friend to help make pies for the church's annual cherry pie sale. And for what it's worth, it was a big deal that my mom was invited to help with the cherry pie making, because the ladies in this particular church are very particular about how their cherry pies are made. So the day came when the women gathered in the church fellowship hall to get the pies made ahead of the sale. My mom arrived around 9:45 that morning, and the place was already buzzing with activity, most of it from the pie making. However, in addition to the many, many, many women who had gathered to make the pies for this annual sale, there was also a small group of women in one corner of the fellowship hall who were working on their own unrelated project. So my mom went into the kitchen to find her friend so she could learn what pie-making job she was to have. As she approached her friend, she saw that a pot of coffee had been brewed and that there was a tray of styrofoam cups, creamers, and sugars next to the pot. My mom asked her friend if the coffee was available for the taking, and her friend said, "Of course." So my mom poured herself a cup, adding a bit of cream and sugar. She then received her job assignment and went back out into the fellowship hall with her cup of coffee to join her pie-making workstation. Moments after she began to work on her particular task, one of the women in that small group of non-pie makers saw my mom with her cup of coffee, made a beeline across the fellowship hall for her, and approached with anger in her eyes. "Where did you get that cup of coffee?" the woman demanded. My mom said she'd gotten it from the pot in the kitchen. The woman then replied, mind you, this is someone she's never met before. The woman replied, "I told them that coffee was not to be used until 10 o'clock. It was about 9:50 at this point. And our group was supposed to get it first. Then the woman told my mother to pour her cup back into the coffee pot. Yes. She actually told her to pour it back. My mom explained that she probably shouldn't do that because there was already cream and sugar in her coffee. And then the unpleasant interaction abruptly ended. I don't know if you know this, but church people have a reputation of sometimes, being a bit unreasonable and unpleasant for various reasons. Now, I'm not saying anyone here at McCabe is ever unreasonable or unpleasant. I'm just saying that some church people sometimes in other places have this reputation. Now, my mom has lived her life around church people, and she has a relatively thick skin, so she was able to inwardly roll her eyes and move on after this very unpleasant and irrationally woman behaved so badly toward her. However, not long after this unfortunate incident had occurred, my mom spent some time with a couple of my aunts, and she told them this story. One of the aunts she was talking to is someone who lives with a fair amount of challenge in her life and in her extended family. And she and my uncle, over the course of their marriage, have struggled to find a church home where they feel welcome and engaged. When my mom told this story about the rude woman, my aunt quietly said, "If that had happened to me, I would have never gone back to that church." Heartbreaking, right? Now, maybe you'd think my aunt is a little sensitive to possibly give up on an entire church community after one negative interaction. But isn't it sad to think that if she had encountered that particular woman or someone like her, that woman would indeed have prevented my aunt from connecting with that church? And worse, that one negative person would have potentially prevented my aunt from growing in her relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we feel like we're not good enough, right? Sometimes it's the world, sometimes it's just life that causes us to feel that way. And sadly, sometimes it's religion or religious people that cause us to feel not good enough, or like we don't know all the right rules. But that's not how God wants us to feel. That's not how Jesus wants us to feel. And that's why Jesus said what he said in today's reading from Matthew chapter 11. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, the kind of yoke that Jesus is talking about here is a yoke that's used with livestock, and you'll see it pictured here. There you go. So specifically, a yoke like this is used with livestock that assist in farm labor. Like the one you see pictured here, many yokes are designed to connect two animals together. And then once the animals are connected together, they're attached to a plow or other piece of equipment that they are then meant to pull. To wear a yoke implies that you are doing some heavy lifting, some hard labor. Well, in Jesus' day, if you were the student of a particular rabbi, it was said that you had taken that rabbi's yoke upon you. Now, the rabbis were, they still are, the primary teachers of the Jewish faith. Jesus himself was a Jewish rabbi, but he was a different kind of rabbi. At that time, Jewish children, boys most likely, received formal but basic religious education until they were about 10 years old. When that basic education was completed, the majority of the students returned home to begin learning their family trade or to become apprentices in some other type of work. Others, the most academically excellent of the students, they were able to continue to the next phase of formal religious education. That phase lasted until the students were about 14 years old, and when it was completed, the majority of those students went back home or elsewhere to learn a trade or profession. However, the best of the best, the most academically excellent of the academically excellent, We're given the opportunity to learn from a particular rabbi, to learn his set of religious rules. In the same way that we church pastors have slightly different ways of interpreting the Bible and of teaching Christian faith and life, the Jewish rabbis had their own particular ways of teaching the Jewish religious law and practice. Those particular ways of teaching the Jewish religious law and practice were called yokes. To be invited to learn from a particular rabbi was to take that rabbi's yoke upon you. And remember, the rabbis only took the best of the best of the best, the cream of the academic crop. It only took the best of the best to be their followers. All the other students were essentially not good enough. But then Jesus came along, and he approached a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of not good enoughs, saying to them, come follow me, inviting them to learn from him, inviting them to take his yoke upon them. These fishermen were guys no other rabbi had wanted, but Jesus wanted them. And then beyond Jesus inviting his closest disciples to follow him, those fishermen, he put out this blanket invitation to everyone. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's as if he said to the crowds, have burdens been put on you by religious people? Have they made you feel not good enough, like you don't know all the right rules? Well, lay those burdens down and follow me. Come to me just as you are, and I will show you a different way. I don't know about you, but that sounds a whole lot better to me than not making the cut. Actually, these words of Jesus from Matthew 11 sound a whole lot like grace. Several years ago, a Christian recording artist, David Crowder, released a song called Come As You Are that connects beautifully with this scripture reading, and it connects beautifully with this three-week sermon series that we've started today. There's a video for this song that's going to play, and as it plays, you can follow the lyrics on the screen, or you can simply listen, soaking up the song's message of grace.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your who've strayed. Come sit at the table.
Again, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you that are carrying heavy burdens." In those words of Jesus, you can almost hear Crowder's song echoing in the background. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted. Let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner. Come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. A wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your heart. Lay down your hurt. Come as you are. Friends, you don't have to be the best of the best of the best to receive a welcome from Jesus Christ. You don't have to have done anything perfectly or even all that well in this life. You don't have to know all the rules. Whoever you are, however you have come, wherever you've come from, it doesn't matter. We're just glad you've come as you are. The good news is that Jesus Christ loves and welcomes us just as we are. He won't leave us that way because he wants us to heal. He wants us to find joy and he wants us to experience forgiveness. The God we know in Jesus loves and welcomes us just as we are. That is amazing good news. Yet God has hopes and dreams for us that are bigger than who and how we are right now. But that's a message for next week and the next. For now, know without a doubt that you are welcome here as you are. Let's pray. Oh God of mercy, thank you for being who you are. And thank you for loving us as we are. We hear these words Jesus spoke to his earliest followers so long ago. Help us to hear them as though he is speaking them to us right here, right now. Help us to feel truly welcomed by you, and may we welcome others in your Son's gracious spirit. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Our time of offering during our worship services is a time to lay our hearts before God, to lay our burdens, to lay our hurts before God. It's a time of prayer offering. It's a time of monetary offering. It's a time of musical offering. And so during this time, I would invite you, whether you are giving an offering, giving a prayer, I would invite you to spend this time giving your heart and yourself to God, just as you are.